We'll introduce ourselves very quickly. Raita, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So hi, everyone. I'm Raita. I'm engineering manager at a fintech company called Xpay, and I'm very passionate about building successful development teams.
Yeah, and my name is Floor, and I'm a senior program manager at Microsoft.
Yay, then let's get to it. Yes. So we were talking about Tailwind Traders, and they have gone all in on DevOps. So Tailwind Traders, they've read about it, they've studied it, they've gone to classes on DevOps. Basically, they've even decided on their tooling stack, and they're ready to start DevOpsing. But what is DevOps, actually? If you ask 10 different people, you're going to get 20 different responses, right? So value is the most important part. And the earlier you can put something in the hands of your end users, the sooner you can evaluate its true value. So that's why we're after continuous delivery. Let's talk about delivering anything to the end user. And that's what we'll be looking at this session. But it's not easy to do this right. In order to really adopt DevOps best practices, you must address all these three pillars, like the people, the process, and the products. So the people, that's a cultural change that must occur within your organization. And for process, we need a process that will let us iterate fast enough, yet still deliver code on high enough quality. And finally, we need products that help enable all of this. So all I need to know now is the process. So let's have a look at that. So zooming out, the process allows the teams to innovate fast, yet deliver code of high quality. So I need to sprint to plan sprints. Developers need to check code in and out of a central location. And they need to be able to track changes of other developers. Builds need to kick off in an automated fashion. Security scans need to be automated, and if build succeeds, continuous delivery needs to package their applications for deployment. Scrum. Oh, well, in Scrum, everything starts with a backlog. But what is a backlog? Think of it as a prioritized wish list of everything you want your software to do. And the most important things are on the top, and the least important things sink to the bottom. And at the beginning of a sprint or iteration, the product owner prioritizes that backlog. So when the team commits to doing part of that backlog based on priority and what they think they can get done, they spend the sprint working, they burn down whatever bugs are found in sprint, and at the end of the sprint, they show what they've accomplished to the product owner, and in a sprint review meeting or demo, hopefully they can actually push this to production. And based on the sprint review demo, the product owner then reprioritizes the backlog, and the whole cycle rinses and repeats itself. Well, this was a super quick description of Scrum. So let's dive a little bit deeper on some of the general principles of Scrum. So this is not a waterfall project. We don't build the entire thing and then release it. We build it up incrementally, sprint after sprint, and building the highest priority items on the backlog first. We do this because this allows the product owner to look at what we are building at the end of every sprint. And when they do, they can give immediate feedback. This is very important. This is vital. By building our software incrementally, we can have frequent inspections of the software, and we can immediate course correct if we need to. So instead of wasting months of work, the worst that could happen is we waste one iteration, mostly that's 2 weeks, and then we course correct. So next in an Agile or Scrum project, everything should be transparent. So the product and sprint backlog should be public, where everyone can easily see what the team is currently working on and what the team will most likely work on next. So transparency and communication is key in an Agile and DevOps world. So next, I want to touch on what makes up a Scrum team. Well, there are actually only three roles. First is the product owner, and there is literally only one job for the product owner to do, and that is prioritize the backlog. The success or failure of this piece of software must directly affect the product owner. And next, there's the Scrum Master, and the Scrum Master has two roles. So one is to make sure that the team follows the Scrum best practices, And the second one is to protect the Scrum team from outside interference. And finally, of course, there's the Dev team. And in an ideal world, every person on the team can pick up any work that's on the backlog and just get it done. And these Scrum teams should be also autonomous. No one needs to direct the Scrum team on how or what they should do. The rituals. So doing Scrum, you can never, ever actually skip any of the rituals. And there are only 4 required meetings per sprint. So there's the sprint planning, where the product owners prioritizes that backlog. The daily stand-up, where the dev teams ask for three questions. And so one of them is, what I do yesterday, what am I planning to do today, and are there any blockers? Then there's the sprint review or demo. At the end of the sprint, the team will demo what they have done to the product owner, and they will give them feedback. And there's the retrospective, where the team breaks down the good, the bad, and the ugly of whatever happened during the sprint. And these meetings are vital for Scrum to run smoothly, so they all must happen, but never, never go over the time box. So we don't want to be wasting any time. So that means that the Scrum Master has to run the meeting very efficiently. And then we have estimates. People in general are very bad in estimations. But to help with your estimates, like, here are a few rules you can adopt if it's for you. So I break down my work into 4-hour chunks. So why 4 hours? Because first of all, it's a lot more accurate, right? I'm pretty good at estimating and small pieces of work. I can pretty much estimate a day's work, like very sort of good-ish, but not very well. 2 days, nah. More than 2, I'm lost. I don't know. And to be really accurate, I can only like estimate for about 2 days. So if we break down a user story into 4-hour tasks, there is now a possibility that instead of just one person spending 3 days working on it, this can be broken down in multiple small tasks and the team can work on it in parallel, which means we can close this ticket much faster. And I can quickly see if all the agreements that what done means, like the definition of done. The Scrum teams can create their own definition of done agreement. And as a Scrum Master, I can quickly point out when the definition of done criteria are not met. And the developer or the dev teams can now be aligned correctly on that definition and on what it entails. Finally, never start from a date. Because deadlines suck. Developers are pleasers and we want to make people happy. So if you start from a date, we will magically subdivide up the work so it fits a lot of time. And even though this doesn't work and this isn't accurate, it is what we do. So don't start from a date and work out the task that you need to do in 4-hour chunks and see where the end date lands. These rules apply to everyone. Like in order for Agile to work, everyone in the organization must be hyper-focused and aligned. So remember, the whole point of moving away from Waterfall to Agile is we have finally admitted that Waterfall does not work well in software. 90% of software projects fails. So we know the old metrics are garbage and we must all be aligned with how things are done and measured in Agile. So everyone from the top of your organization all the way down to the junior, they have to follow the rules of Scrum.
Great. And to do Agile right, Tier 1 traders needs the tools to track their work from one sprint to the next, like Raita already explained. They need to be able to reprioritize work on their backlog as well as organize work within the sprint. And all of this needs to be accessible. Everybody needs to be able to look at it from every role that is in the company, because no one is working in a vacuum. So we'll have the product backlog, sprint backlog, and their current product plan being visible to everyone. And to show how this works, we're going to switch to a demo of Azure DevOps. I'm just waiting for the little video. The video is pre-recorded, but I'll be talking over it live, so you'll continue to hear my voice. There we go. So here we see the product backlog for Tailwind Traders. And as the product owner of Tailwind Traders, my job is to add work to the backlog. And I do that by selecting the new work item, adding a new work item. And then once it is added to the top, I can open it. I can add a description if I want to, acceptance criteria, so the definition of done in some way. I can add comments to it if I want to. And I can sort of drag and drop it to reprioritize as I see fit. So this is the entire product backlog, but then we want to have a sprint backlog as well, which is different, of course. Typically you'll select a number of items from your product backlog and add them to your sprint backlog, sprint 3 in this case. And here we jump in, you see that it looks pretty similar to the product backlog. And in here, again, I can reprioritize as I see fit. I can add a little bit more granularity to the different items if I want to. I can add new work items. I can jump in and add sort of like subtasks for the work items that I already have in there. And so I can just add a little bit more detail to the sprint and what we're about to commit to in this sprint. You might see the sort of development item. So add a little bit further in the demo, we'll also add some GitHub items or links to GitHub to these work items. So this is one thing, but it's really hard to sort of track work from the sprint backlog. And so you want to be going to the task board, which we'll be going to in a second, to actually see what everybody's working on at that very point in time. That's just adds a lot more visibility to what you've committed to working on. So let's go to the task board, which is great for tracking items in sprint. And you'll be able to sort of drag and drop items from the to-do column into the in progress and to done column. And then for even more sort of visibility of what people are working on, you can use a Kanban board. And you'll see there's also different swim lanes. That's what you call the sort of horizontal bars for instance, emergency tasks or PRs that need to be reviewed. And we can go into one of those PR items. I think that's what's coming up next. And you see the little AutoCAD symbol. So that means that this one is linked to an item like a pull request or a repository on GitHub. So let's pull up the repository of Tailwind Traders that we'll be working on. And we'll just open the README and make a couple of changes. This can be literally everything, right? For the purpose of the demo, we're just adding some text. And we're referencing ticket number 425. So your commit message can be doing some stuff, fixes, and then AD for Azure DevOps, and the hashtag symbol and the number of the ticket. And you see that by actually clicking on the commit message, we'll see that the ticket moves to the done column on Azure DevOps. And you'll see when you open the item that you can see under development that there's our commit message. We did some stuff. And it's fixes at XYZ. And by fixes, it moves to the done column. If you use other language, it will not move to the done column, but it will just add a deep link to the page, the PR on GitHub. There we go. Let's move back to our slides and talk a little bit more about some of the other issues that Tailwind Traders wanted to solve by moving to the DevOps way. Tailwind Traders is now almost ready to start diving into coding, but they still have one process question that they need to answer. What branching scheme should they use? So traditional branching schemes involve many long living branches. You have the dev branch, QA branch, feature branches, the main branch, and all these long living branches, they do not equal moving quickly. So just think of all of the merge conflicts, right? And fixing merge conflicts is painful, as we all know, and it's expensive, takes a lot of time. And it's a problem that we all run into if we're using long-living branches. So we don't want to be doing that. Instead, Tailwind Traders has decided to use trunk-based development. So they're basically devving off of the main branch, and they're checking back code frequently. So with no long-running branches, there's almost no merge conflicts to fix. And if they occur, then they should be able to fix those quite quickly because the code is still very fresh. But how could that possibly work? I know that you're thinking this. If you're all devving off the main branch, then you should be introducing bugs all over the place, right? No. Tailwind Traders solved that problem by using a software technique called feature flags or feature toggles or switches or however you call the thing. But it's a technique that lets you turn off or on certain portions of your code during runtime. So in one deployment, now you can ship alternative code paths, and during runtime, you can decide which path you want to follow. This is great because now you've separated development of the code from the delivery of your new feature. And you can do awesome stuff with that because you can, for instance, introduce A/B testing and just turn on a piece of the code or a new feature for just a select amount of users and turn it off for the other, control group and see what code or what feature behaves better. Feature flags are really just if statements. So if your code supports if statements right now, and I bet they do, then you can support feature flags as well. I mentioned the A/B testing before. It's great. You can grab telemetry from both variations and then figure out which one delivers value to your customers better. And of course, if something goes wrong, but let's hope that not, you can just roll back your changes and be done with it. So finally, Tailwind Traders is very concerned with quality, and we should all be. Moving as quickly as they will be moving in this new world, they want to have time to do full. They want to have time to do full end-to-end testing, but they just won't. Like, reality is that they won't, and so they'll need to shift left and build quality into their app from the get-go and not sort of tag it on as an afterthought at the end. That's what traditional software companies are doing. Another thing they want to do to improve quality is to check every PR that goes into their code. The problem that they quickly run into is that, people start ignoring all of these PRs that are piling up. But of course, we have a problem to we have a solution to that problem as well. So Tailwind Traders really wants to see the changes running in a test system, which means that for every PR, they have to sort of build the app, package up the app, provision the infra that the change needed, and then configure it correctly. Then they need to deploy it, and then they could see the changes, right? And then once you're done with the PR review, you need to also clean all of that up again. And that's tedious work, and it's incredibly prone to error because we're just humans. Luckily, GitHub thought of something, and it's GitHub Actions, which is GitHub's workflow engine. And you can automate all sorts of things in GitHub. Esther talked about it a little bit in the previous session also already. So to solve the problem of PR stacking up, you could create a swim lane in your Kanban board, as you've seen before, to reflect all of those pull requests that are currently open, and someone could easily pick it up. And so whenever there's a pull request, you can have actions automatically add that to that particular swim lane so that it should be visible. And if people are not picking it up, that's something for the Scrum Master to intervene and make sure that someone does. You can also have an action automatically build and package up your application. And finally, when the PR is closed, then an action can also take care of cleaning up all of the stuff that was provisioned to make sure that people can review the pull request.
Okay, cool. Sounds like Tailwind Traders is now in a pretty good state. The fundamentals are all in place and they're now ready for some more advanced topics. So go join us in the next session where we make sure that Tailwind Traders deliver both high quality code while maintaining security.